We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back into the second hour of Straight Up with Sturge on this July 17th, 2019 Stormy Edition, man. Diesel had to run outside, fight the elements in order to beat the storm. That is here. I've got to get to some of the text line has just blown up. It's on fire. Let me try to get to a couple of these texts. T-Bone got back in with us. Love having you back, T-Bone. Great. Appreciate that. Another texter gets in with us. How do you see the Florida Gators doing this year? I'm going to answer that here shortly because I think the East is a lot more competitive than what people want to give it credit for. Look, I'm not sold that Georgia is just heading above the rest of the league. I think they've got issues. They've got issues in the secondary. They've got issues at linebacker. Part of their defensive line, to me, is average at best. Now, the one thing I will say about Georgia is they've probably got the best offensive line in college football. That group is nasty. They are big. They are strong. They're all returning from last year. Jake Fromm, I like that guy. Wide receiver-wise, I go back and forth. Sometimes they look like world beaters, and other times not so much. Let's go to the phone lines and bring in Stanley. Stanley from T-Town, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, wants to join the show. Stanley, welcome in.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Welcome anytime.
I am an Alabama born and raised. I have recently transported up here to South Carolina.
Okay.
And I catch more hell from Clemson fans, especially because of how the national championship went.
Right.
I was getting in my leaving work, getting in my car, and I heard just the last portion of what you said of how Alabama possibly won't even make it to the SEC championship.
Yes.
And I'm curious about that because even if somehow if there was a lightning strike and everybody died and South Carolina beat Alabama,
okay,
I don't see another team in the West beating Alabama.
Okay.
And even with that one loss, I don't think that keeps them out of the SEC championship. And I will agree with you out of Georgia. I heard what you just said about Georgia. And really is the scariest thing about Georgia is the quarterback and offensive line. Everything else, I can, depending on the day, somebody can catch them. I believe that Florida might can get them. I don't think Kentucky will have a very good year after losing their running back. I was just wondering exactly how that was not supposed to work that Alabama won't get back into the SEC championship or the college playoff.
Stanley just said, explain yourself. He said, bless your heart, Josh Phillips, explain yourself.
All right. Stanley, I appreciate first of all, thank you for the phone call, and I appreciate – you getting in with us. And welcome to the upstate. I know you're probably catching
Absolutely.
The heck, but that's to be expected, as I'm sure 2 years ago you were giving plenty of heck in this in this area. Am I correct?
He's gone.
Oh, he's gone. Okay. Stanley, I don't think you're winning at Texas A&M. A&M is going to be a vastly improved football team under Jimbo Fisher. They've recruited exceptionally well. And, look, you play Southern Miss, then Ole Miss at home, and then you go on the road to Texas A&M. And I don't think you get out of College Station alive. So that's another loss. So now Alabama, to start the season, is 1-2, 2-1, 3-1, 4-1. Now Alabama is 4-2 to start the season. What left do you have to play for? You're 0-2. Or excuse me, you are You're 1-2 in the SEC at this point. So you've basically eliminated yourself with a loss at South Carolina, a loss at Texas A&M, and I'm telling you right now, you're not beating LSU. People are sleeping on LSU. LSU has got probably the best defensive front in college football. They've got everybody returning back on the offensive line. They've got wide receivers. I mean, they may have 5 first-round draft picks at wide receiver. And look, Alabama does too. You've got LSU's got a phenomenal running back. Dave Aranda, with what he's got this year, is not going to have to mix and match. Bennett at safety is actually going to be able to play safety and not get involved in the run game and actually be a safety and play at the third level. See, people forget LSU got dinged up last year, and now they've gotten some guys healthy, and they've added an exceptionally good recruiting class to this group, and they're older.
Michael from Greenville just got in on the phone line, was not available to come on the air with us.
Call back in, Michael.
To bring up the point that of how many coaches in the SEC are all from the Nick Saban tree.
Okay.
And that was his point. I'm not sure exactly what he was alluding to, and it was possibly that because they all come from the Nick Saban tree, then it's just all more of the same. There's so many systems within the SEC that are so similar, and that might be what's building this parity in the SEC where everybody's able to beat each other up. I'm not sure if that's really what Michael was trying to get at because he didn't really tell me exactly what he was trying to get at.
I understand what Michael's saying. Look, the issue of why the SEC is behind the times is twofold. First of all, the quarterback play in the SEC up until recently has sucked. When was the last time an SEC quarterback was drafted in the top 5?
Well, they haven't had great quarterbacks in the SEC. It's always been be serviceable, be able to hand the ball off, and let your running game win games for you.
Correct. Well, what happens when you meet a defensive line like Clemson?
It's true. When you have to go out and play somebody not within this bubble of not having to have good quarterbacks, that's what happens. You get trounced.
Right. So back to Stanley. So Stanley, once you lose to LSU on November the 9th, you're done. You're done. There's not going to be a playoff. There's not going to be an SEC championship. You're going to go to the Chick-fil-A Bowl. You're going to go to Atlanta, but it's going to be on December the 29th. Because again, like I explained in the open, number one, I'm not sold that Tua Tagovailoa is this great elite second or number one overall draft pick in the draft. I'm not. I've seen too many issues. First of all, he can't read a defense to save his life. He cannot do it. He is a half-field thrower. If he tries to read what's called ATB, which is across the board, okay, he gets murdered. He throws in a double coverage. I mean, look what he did against Clemson. And would anybody say that Clemson had an elite secondary? I mean, that first interception that was returned for a touchdown was a garden variety two-cutter on the outside. Garden variety. So to talk about how Tua is just this miraculous player. Now, look, I'm not taking away from the fact that Alabama has one of the best wide receiving cores in the country. I love Jerry Jeudy. I love the rest of that group. The offensive line, you lost 3 starters on the offensive line. They're playing in the NFL. You lost 3 out of 4 on the back end. You lost your best defensive lineman, who was gassed in the second quarter against Clemson. And this business about because of Saban's tree, now, you know what? Because of Jeremy Pruitt being at Tennessee, that's a work in progress. We don't know what Pruitt's going to be at Tennessee. He's recruiting very well, which that's his reputation. You see what's going on at Georgia. Kirby is as ready to win to the next level as he's ever been. The only problem is I'm not sure from what I've seen with my own eyes, Georgia's best chance to win the national championship is when they were up 14 and blew it on arguably one of the greatest gaffes in college football history on that fake punt. Let's go to the phone lines and bring in Michael. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, Josh, how you doing today, sir?
I'm doing awesome, sir. I hope you are.
Yes, sir. Hey, first of all, I'm going to let everybody know that I'm a Gamecock fan.
Okay.
Let everybody know that before I start talking. Now, as far as what I was saying about all the coaches in the SEC is coming from the Nick Saban tree, I believe they're trying to – let me say this so it'll come out right. They're trying to get the coaches that can pick his brain or whatnot, get his ideas, his philosophy, and bring it to the other teams and see if it works.
Right.
And some of it is, and then some of it's not. Now, let's say Georgia, for example. Georgia was already set when Kirby Smart got there. So he had to just work the kinks out of whatnot to get them to where they're at now. Okay, some of them players that Mark Rick had there are gone. What are they going to do now? He got ready to start doing his own recruit. Tennessee was a hot mess. So now they got to rebuild that from start with, you know, with Pruitt. Who's other coach? Texas A&M. Jimbo Fisher. That was in a wreck. So now he got to get it established, which he's doing now. Now, my game calls. We just need a defense. Offenses, I give it a B. But I think we need a defense. We get a defense.
Michael, you got one this year, buddy. I've picked you to beat Alabama in week three. No, I've picked you to beat Alabama in week three.
I think
you're going to beat Alabama at Williams-Brice in week three.
I know we did it before, and I think we can do it again. But my number one thing with South Carolina is our defense.
Okay.
We got the front seven, we all right, then we ain't got the defensive backs. We get the defensive back, we have problems with the front seven, which was last year, so we had a lot of injuries. And that's where I feel about my Gamecocks. It's the defense. I think the offense is going to be, okay, we got to put some plugs in here and there on the O-line and, you know, and wide receiver because, you know, Debo is gone and whatnot. But the number one thing with me, what I see, if it gets defense, if he got a defensive mind, why he don't have a defense that can do something? He's getting the recruits in there, yes, but me personally, I think it's defense.
Michael, thank you for the phone call. We appreciate you getting in. I'm going to answer those questions about South Carolina and those exact things because this defensive line is going to shock the college football world. This is Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back in Upstate to this Wednesday, July 17th, 2019 edition of Straight Up with Sturge. I am Josh Phillips. Yes, I have started the day off. SEC Media Days, ACC Media Days, we've got you all covered. Mark Ryan, Lonzo Reitzel was up in Charlotte today covering the ACC on Mark's show, Offsides. They did a great job at John Simpson on the show. You can go to our podcast at ESPN Upstate. Take a listen to that as well. I've started off the show by making the boldest prediction in the country, and that is not only will Alabama not make the SEC championship, but they will also lose to South Carolina in week three at Williams-Brice Stadium. You know, I've got a question, Diesel, for all the Clemson fans. When that game comes around, who are they pulling for? If you're if you're a Clemson fan in week three, when Alabama and South Carolina play, because don't give me this crap that you don't pull for your everybody. If you're a college football fan and you love college football, like we all do in the South, when you watch other teams, you naturally gravitate or want one team to win over another one, even if you don't have a dog in the fight. Happens all the time. So, I would be curious to know, in week three, would Clemson fans wish more for South Carolina to win, or would they rather hope Alabama wins so that then they can beat them later on?
Well, we're putting it on the poll. ESPN Upstate on Twitter. Clemson fans, who do you want to win in week three? Roll Tide or Cock-a-doodle-doo?
There you go.
And we don't want South Carolina fans to go in and vote and sway the vote.
Well, of course
We already know that you want South Carolina to win, obviously. We're not interested in your opinion at this time. So please, Clemson fans only, who do you want to win that game, Alabama or South Carolina?
I mean, to me, that's going to be a fascinating answer. You want to join the discussion, call in. The call-in line is 844-477-376. Hit us up on the Health Dare text line. Text ESPN to 71307. The text line's just gone off the chain. T-Bone, I appreciate the kind words that you sent. Yes, obviously, I would love to meet you, shake your hand. Wish you all the best. No problem there. Appreciate you listening into the show. A lot of really good calls. One of the questions that a caller or a texter asked is my opinion about the Florida Gators. You know, look, first of all, let me handle the SEC West first. And starting from the bottom going up. Probably the team that's going to finish last in that division is Mississippi State. I love Joe Moorhead. I love what he's doing. Sans Mullen, since Mullen left to go to Florida. But I think the league is starting to separate itself from Mississippi State. And that's the other thing. If you're Mississippi State, if you're Arkansas, you know, where are you going to find your conference wins right now? Because both of those programs could be better and still finished at the bottom of the league, because you've still got Alabama, you've still got Auburn, which I'm going to eliminate Auburn here shortly. You've still got LSU. I mean, it's just such a tough row to hoe to get to the top of that division. Let's go to the phone lines and bring in Kevin. Kevin wants to talk Gamecocks. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. Great show today.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
I got a little bit of vice versa of the last Carolina caller. I think the defense is going to be better than the offense. I think that all the guys getting hurt in the secondary, they may not be the best players, but, man, they picked up some valuable freshmen and sophomores the last 2 years than us.
All right, we're losing.
Yeah, Kevin. Sorry, Kevin. I think we had interference. Call back in.
Yeah, try to get back in with us.
The only thing that we got from you, Kevin, was you disagreed with the last Gamecock caller. So call back in when you've got a better signal, and we'll let you complete your thought. I think I understand what he was saying about the defense being better. And you know, when Will Muschamp, I want Gamecock fans to watch something. Tomorrow, when Will Muschamp, and I'm wrong, it's Tuesday, not Wednesday. I keep saying it's Wednesday. I'm a day ahead. I'm too excited. Or is today Wednesday? Today is Wednesday, right?
Yeah, it's Wednesday.
Today is Wednesday, so I'm right. I thought it was I'm all over the map here.
I'll bet you don't even know what day of the week it is during season.
Oh,
you
forget about it. They just run together.
You just know what we're doing today on the field.
I just want to make sure I'm still on planet Earth during the season. And every coach out there that's listening understands that pain.
You know, today we're installing the offense. Tomorrow we're running drills. Next day we're fine-tuning.
Exactly.
The next day is no pads.
They're numbers. They're not days.
How many days till game day?
Exactly. You want to join the conversation, 844-477-3776. Hit us up on the Health Dare text line. Text ESPN to 71307. See, I'm not concerned about South Carolina's defense. And the reason being is the Gamecocks are finally 8 deep on the defensive line. This defensive line is going to surprise people with how good they are, first with the front four and then with the rotation of the backups. The secondary, I'm not worried about. You got Jamias Williams, he's coming back. You got Israel Mukaamu, who moved him to safety. So now you've got a 6'4", 220-pound free safety in the middle of the field. So the secondary, I think, is fixed, and you've got depth there. The linebacker, the second level, you've got TJ Brunson and that crew who are coming back. You're solid there. The last turnover for the Gamecocks was the defensive line. You got the Pickens kid from T.L. Hanna, who's a five-position player along that defensive line, which means he can play in, tackle. You can line him up anywhere, and he's going to be a nightmare. You've got Brad Johnson, who prepped at Pendleton right down the road from us, who's in that mix. You've got Kier Thomas from Miami Northwestern, who's a redshirt junior. You've got Javon Kinlaw in the middle, 320 pounds at 6'4". I'm excited to see this defensive line. Let's go back to Kevin. Kevin, welcome back to the show.
Hey, I felt like you said everything I was about to say. You hit it right on the head. I think the defense will be the strength of this team. I think the rotation will be too deep at every position. And I'm looking for us to get the running back situation straightened out. We didn't do very well last year running the ball. And our offensive line is more suspect this year than it was last year. We get the running game going, and we can flat lay the leather on some people. And I'm going to call it right now, we're going to beat two of the big three teams on our schedule. We may lose to somebody we're not supposed to, but I feel like between Georgia, Clemson, and Bama, we're going to get two of those three.
Kevin, thank you for the
predictions
on
from
that.
Kevin.
Well, and
two out of three.
Well, and look, if you go back – and look, we don't have it up. We need to. But I want Gamecock fans to look at Will Muschamp when he gets on the podium at SEC Media Days. He's going to look like the cat that ate the canary. Like, everybody's writing us off. We've got the toughest schedule in college football. Everybody's saying we're going to finish up at the bottom of the division. And he's just going to smile with a grin that belies somebody that's paying attention and go, he knows something that we don't, except for me. Because the truth of the matter is, Jake Bentley doesn't have any more excuses about guys around him now on this offense. See, this is where I disagree with Kevin. I think this offensive line is going to be phenomenal. The question that I have for South Carolina is still at running back, because Marshawn Lloyd isn't going to get there till next summer. So you're still got running back by committee, but the reason I still trust the running back position is because I know the coach, Thomas Brown. Thomas Brown is one of the best. I don't care. You can put this guy at any position, and he is going to make an impact on the coaching staff. He is that type of coach. And he is already making an immediate impact on the Gamecock running backs. Watch what he does. Watch how Rico Dowdle runs the football this year. Watch how A.J. Turner runs the football this year. They are going to run behind their pads. They are going to run with leverage. They are going to run with power. Last year when Virginia stoned South Carolina on a 4th-and-1, this year that ain't going to happen. And that's something that Gamecock fans haven't been used to in a long, long time. But now Coach Muschamp is in year four. And you heard Kirby Smart yesterday, or excuse me, on Monday, somebody asked him about, because him and Will Muschamp were on the same staff, and they're friends. And Kirby Smart said what I've been trying to tell everybody since the spring, that this is the most aggressive recruiting staff in the country. Kirby Smart said it from the podium, that they beat them head-to-head. South Carolina beat Georgia head-to-head on recruits that Georgia coveted. Now, did Georgia get their fair share? Absolutely. But the Gamecocks won a lot more than they lost. They beat Clemson on three kids.
In case you're wondering, Josh, the results of the polls so far were 26 votes in, so I feel like we're getting to a
fairly
scientific point in this voting. And it's only been up for
15 minutes.
Yeah,
maybe.
Not even. It's not even been up for 10 minutes. In week three, when Alabama and South Carolina play, Clemson fans, who do you want to win? Right now, 81% choosing their rivals in Tuscaloosa, not their rivals in Columbia.
So Clemson fans are wanting Alabama to beat South Carolina.
That's correct. That is a rock and a hard place kind of decision here, because Alabama is, without a doubt, Clemson's biggest rival on the field.
Correct.
South Carolina is Clemson's biggest rival in their state. So who do you want to win? Your on-the-field rival or your in-state rival? Tough call. Right now, 81% saying Roll Tide.
Talking about the running backs, the guy that I really love, who I think – now, Rico Dowdle came out of the spring as the number one running back for Carolina. But the guy to watch out for is Mon Denson. Mon Denson is a old-school Alabama-beating type running back, because he's not going to go east and west. He's going to stick his cleat in the dirt, and he's going to get north and south, and he's going to look for a linebacker to run over. So you put this running back group along with Thomas Brown, who I have a tremendous amount of respect for, and I think the running backs are going to be serviceable. I don't think they're going to get over the top until Marshawn Lloyd gets there next summer. The offensive line. This is why I'm excited about South Carolina's offensive line, and I think they're sleeping on them. Anybody that's listened to me, I don't know, for the last 2.5 years, coming out of spring practice, Sadarius Hutcherson is starting at left tackle. Anybody that's listened to me on this show or on previous shows knows that I've been talking about Sadarius Hutcherson since he's been there, and that his natural position was at left tackle. He will be a first-round draft pick as a left tackle in the National Football League. We'll discuss the rest of the offensive line when we come back. This is Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Welcome back into this Wednesday, July 17th, 2019 edition of Straight Up with Sturge. I am Josh Phillips, sitting in for the vacationing Mark Sturgis. Let me get to some of these texts.
He's down in sunny Orlando today.
Oh, he's in Orlando today.
Yeah, he's trying not to get shook to death on roller coasters. He's trying to decide if, with his shoulder surgery, you know, not even a year ago, if he can even get on roller coasters or not, because he loves them. And that's got to be brutal for somebody who loves roller coasters, to be in one of the roller coaster meccas of the world and you can't do it?
Oh. How can you go to a theme park and not ride a roller coaster? Although I understand, Sturgy, the Alabama fans are all over the text line. Texer gets in with us. As far as LSU, I don't trust their quarterback, and South Carolina's offense is suspect. Another Texer gets in with us. I'm coming to you. How do you see the Florida Gators this year? Give me just, we're going to get there, I promise. When we left off, I was talking about South Carolina's offensive line. South Carolina is finally eight deep along the offensive and defensive line. Sedarius Hutcherson, who I've been telling everybody about forever, is starting at left tackle, backed up by Jordan Carty. Donnell Stanley, who was recruited as a tackle, has slid inside to left guard. Hank Manos at center. He's a little bit undersized, but he is a tenacious and will fight you. He's backed up by Chandler Farrell. The guy to watch out for, and I want Gamecock fans to remember this name, Jovan Gwynn. This guy reminds me a lot of an old Alabama offensive guard called Chance Warmack, who was a first-round draft pick for Alabama when they won it 9 years ago. He's backed up by Eric Douglas, and then starting at right tackle is Dylan Wonnum. Yes, DJ Wonnum's brother, who South Carolina beat everybody in the country on, and he's backed up by Jalen Nichols. This is a big, physical, nasty-looking offensive line. Let's go to the phone lines and bring in an old stalwart, Gamecock Billy. Welcome to the show.
Josh, as always, good to hear you. You know, I love hearing you talk football, period,
yes, sir.
No matter if it's at the NFL level, high school, or college. So
appreciate that. Thank
anyway,
you.
Yes, sir. Value your opinion as always. Just wanted to get into the South Carolina talk, if I could. You were talking about all the things that's going positive at South Carolina, and I agree with you. And I'm always trying to look on the bright side no matter what, but I don't think this is just pumping sunshine now. If you start – I was with you, me and you both, except I don't think I was as negative. I was more of a wait and see. But when they first hired Will Muschamp, I thought it was a terrible hire. I thought they could have gotten
agreed.
At least
yep, I had to apologize publicly, yep.
Yeah, I thought there was three or four guys that they should have settled for besides him because they settled for him, let's be honest. But in hindsight, he seems to have learned his lessons at Florida and has addressed a lot of those things, first of all, by bringing in McClendon, which is a sensational hire. Secondly, by going after quarterbacks. You know, he even mentioned that today at the SEC Media Days. He's learned his lesson. He needs a quarterback to win games in this conference. Not just this year, but looking at the future, they're bringing in guys that are 4- and 5-star guys at that position that are routinely in the Elite 11, which obviously is, you know, usually 20 quarterbacks now or 20-something. But still, when you get a guy that's going out there that's been invited to that group and is finishing the way that these guys have finished lately, then you've got – you know, talented quarterback. So I think he's addressed that. And, you know, everyone's worried about the defense. I agree with you. Honestly, Josh, this is the most talent I've seen at South Carolina as far as their offensive and defensive line since probably 2012.
I agree.
And, yeah, and I'm so excited. Now, I know the schedule's difficult, but I said before, I thought that they were going to get one of those big games. I'm not going to go on a limb and say two or three. I think they'll be competitive in two and probably lose bad in one. But I think that Alabama looks like the most credible win to me. I agree with that. I've thought that for quite some time. And I think Alabama's going to learn what Georgia has learned a long time ago, that you do not want to play in Williams-Brice when South Carolina is healthy, and B, still believes. And you know, they're going to probably be 2-0 coming into that game.
Well, that's what I was,
that sets up.
That's what I was going to say, Billy. South Carolina is going to be 2-0 going into that game. Alabama is going to be ranked either number one or number two, depending on how the polls come out. It's either going to be Clemson or South Carolina or Alabama, one or two. Okay. And Alabama has got that Week 4 game at Texas A&M looming. They're not, this is a trap game if ever there was one. And I'm with you. I think Williams-Brice is going to be on its ear. And I'm calling it. I'm calling it now. The Gamecocks win that game.
Well, obviously, I hope you're right. And just a couple more quick things about not this year, but just positive overall outlook. I love the coaching staff, and you've said this. You've been the one who taught me off the ledge on this. You said this is one of the best recruiting staffs you've ever had, you've ever seen.
Yes.
And obviously, that's the truth. I was the one who mentioned Wolford. You're talking about offensive line. If you look at the best South Carolina offensive lines in 30 or 40 years, it's been when Wolford was there under Spurrier and now in this tenure. He obviously knows how to recruit what he wants and how to put them in the position to be successful. So I am completely and utterly happy with the direction of the program. Just leave him alone. I don't care what they do this year. Just keep him there and let him continue to build. Anyway, Josh, I appreciate it, buddy. You take care.
Thank you, Billy. As always, appreciate the phone call. You want to join the discussion? 844-477-3776. Hit us up on the HealthDare text line. Text ESPN to 71307. This is Straight Up with Sturge. Yes, welcome back into this Wednesday, July 17th, 2019, last segment of the second hour. Wow, this show is flying by. It seems like we just got here, and now we are almost to hour number three. Welcome to Straight Up with Sturge. I am Josh Phillips, sitting in for the vacationing Mark Sturgis. Let's go to the phone lines and bring in Danny. Danny wants to talk some Feaster to South Carolina. Danny, welcome to the show.
Hey, Josh, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing awesome. I hope you are, sir.
I am. Do you remember me?
I do, yes, sir.
Hey, let me ask y'all something. What do y'all think about Feaster coming to Carolina? Is he coming or not?
Well, the last I heard, he is between two schools. South Carolina's one, and Vitek, Virginia Tech, is the other one. And it's
okay,
all.
So he's not a redneck, so that means he's coming to Carolina, right?
I don't know. This is pure speculation.
Okay, what do you think?
I think he ends up at South Carolina.
I hope you're right, man.
I haven't.
This kid in high school, Jesus Christ.
He loves you.
I know, man. I mean, I want him to be there. You know?
Oh, absolutely. That's what I've heard is that, Danny, thank you for the phone call, is that everybody that's on the Tavian Feaster watch, it's down between South Carolina and Vitek. And look, it basically is going to come down to, I mean, either way, he's going to have to deal with the fact that he's a former Clemson player. And if he goes to Vitek, it's a softer landing than if he goes to South Carolina. If he goes to South Carolina, there's going to be some of them rednecks down in Pickens County that are going to lamb blast the kid. There's that part of every fan base. And he's going to receive a backlash if he decides to go to the Gamecocks. Because right now, what's our poll say?
You mean Richland County.
Or Richland County. What's our poll say? We said when South Carolina plays Alabama, who would Clemson fans rather win? I think we've picked up a lot of votes on that sucker.
Yeah, 77 votes in now. 73% still say Roll Tide. Running through some of these comments here.
Yeah, Clemson fans are sick of the Gamecocks.
Brandon says, I'll root for Carolina. I don't think they have a realistic shot, but seeing Alabama humbled is good for everyone. Taylor says, that's like choosing between Hitler and Stalin. Nope, can't do it. Let's see. Robert Smith, I'd root for the dadgum Taliban to beat University of South Carolina. Chickens are outclassed. Porter says, never, ever root for Carolina. Not allowed. Joey, Roll Tide, easiest question ever. To hell with the chicken. And Greg just says, I don't care.
Well, if you didn't care, why did you take the time to tweet us?
Thanks, man, for your contribution
to the poll.
That?
Who did that? The other guys I don't have a problem with. Who took the time to say, I don't care? Because that's a lie. Because if you didn't care, you wouldn't have took the time.
You'd scroll right past.
You'd just go on with your life. Give us a pick.
Welcome to the internet, Josh.
Good grief.
Let me introduce you to the comment section on the internet nowadays. That's what it is, man.
Okay, if I don't care about something, I don't comment on it.
Right.
You want to know the highest form of disrespect from me? Is getting ignored. Because that means you're not worth my time. So I'm not going to respond. So that's what you get. Silence. Come on, you can't put "I don't care" on a poll. Because I promise you, he voted. He clicked one of the two. I guarantee it.
I'll bet you he replied, "I don't care."
And then
he went on for just a little bit, and then he went back and was like, man, this is digging at me. I got to go vote now.
Correct.
I'd love to know his vote, but it won't tell me that.
Back to South Carolina. And look, the excuse making is over for Jake Bentley. All right, he's got a solid offensive line in front of him. He's got three experienced running backs behind him. And he's got, I mean, my goodness, Bryan Edwards is 6'3", 220 pounds, looks like a Greek god. Or Trey Smith is 6'4", 220 pounds, looks like a Greek god. Keel Pollard, the guy that I'm excited about to watch for the Gamecocks is at tight end, is Keel Pollard. That kid made some plays in the spring game that made me go, wow. He showed great hands. He was great inline blocking. And then he showed some separation in his speed once he caught the football. Real big fan of Keel Pollard. And then, of course, you've got Josh Van, who was highly recruited out of Georgia. Randrikus Davis, who I believe is out of Burns. Big, tall, rangy kid. I really like, a lot of people didn't like that young man because he didn't have great top-end speed. See, as a wide receiver, I don't care about that. And I've coached wide receivers in college and high school. And every wide receiver coach would love to have a Sammy Watkins, would love to have a T. Higgins. But the truth of the matter is, there's not many of those guys out there. But you give me a receiver that's between 6'3" and 6'4" and is a nasty stalk block perimeter guy, can go up and high point the football, I'll take those guys any day. Don't believe me? Ask the NFL. The NFL is loaded with guys like that. Not necessarily. Now, of course, they've got the guys that run 4.3, 4.4, the Metcalf guy. I mean, if speed and size was all there was to it, why didn't Metcalf from Ole Miss go in the first round? I think he dropped to the third or fourth. You give me big receivers that block and are physical and understand how to catch the football away from their body and understand how to high point the football and understand how to run routes, I'll beat you all day long. I don't care how good your DBs are. All day long. So the excuse making for Jake Bentley is done. He's been in this system now two years. He's been in the program for three. And I'm not so sold that he's not the best quarterback on this roster. Helinski is a legit quarterback. He is a legitimate Sunday NFL quarterback. 6'4", 225, can make every NFL throw you ask him to make. But they're going with the veteran. I can appreciate that. Because you don't know what a first-year guy is going to do in the SEC. And you've got Alabama coming to your house week three. And you should be 2-0. I'm saying you're going to be 3-0. But as they say, we will see. And the other thing about Jake Bentley is if he can throw for 500 yards against Clemson's defense, who's Alabama? Any offense with a pulse hangs 30 on Alabama every year.
Problem is, there's not a whole lot of offenses with pulses in the SEC.
That's the problem. And then, quite honestly, the other problem is they got Najee Harris. And look, I'm not trying to trash Alabama. I mean, I respect what they have done since Nick Saban has been there, because I know how far they had to come before he was there. When they were losing to the Louisiana Monroes, and they were losing to the Mississippi States on a regular basis. They are way past that. But this team's far from perfect, and it's going to get exposed this year, and it's going to start week three at Williams-Brice Stadium in Columbia, South Carolina. This is Straight Up with Sturge.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.